some workplace, and I think there is a problem with the words in the document. I have a problem, and I'm just curious. And I can see, as a receiver, I think there is a problem.
Do you have the text, written text from this?
We have, no student doesn't do that, he doesn't give those out. We have managers for school, but the thing with managers things, it was kind of, it was word and music, because the words were colliding and crashing. You picked them up individually, so it wasn't a kind of, a clinical reading from the beginning to the end, clear way. They were meant to kind of overlap. And the room was incredibly echoey, which he chose it to be. So what you've got, what you've got. But you were, you know, as an audience, it's an interesting experience, because you find yourself doing this, rather than hearing it, you're actually kind of going with its musicality.
And music, of course, was quite symbolic, if you know.
Well,
you know,
if you knew that, we didn't know the things you told us afterwards. You know,
but, yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
just a sort of outside comment, but it's interesting for me, there were a lot of magazines which maybe was more sort of like, it's much more incredibly sad, sort of like quite pessimistic of some of it. Felt like the vision of them presenting the world or something, that moment in time is like, quite sad.
I should say there were three other performers who were part of the solo weekend. Mm-hmm. They were not part of the archive. So they were younger performers whose work was generally a little bit more upbeat.
This was all on
2 days. 2 days.
Yeah, but long time left. I thought they were going to want to be like 1 month. No, that's it.
Cowboy literature, no? creativity and all this. So in the kind of meat, these people, the ones that are still alive for longer, they become a meat, and they spend most of the time talking about other people in bar prompts, that they explain what they did, how they killed five people and one in the market, and, you know. So I think that it's more than build something like that.
But I think it's interesting because it also mentioned that Noreen Abramovich. I think you mentioned Noreen Abramovich, and I think the interesting thing is Chris Burden somehow has, I think, has tried to diffuse his mythology somehow. And then when Noreen Abramovich has really, you know, embraced her own mythology and fame and her reputation, but I think Chris Burden somehow is always sort of resisting.
Yeah, he refused, he talked about Marina to renovate his performance.
She didn't do like that, I'm pretty sure she didn't do the crucifixion piece, where she's nailed to the car.
Oh.
I think she did that, at least that one.
No, she refused
his first one. Yeah, but what they heard. But I think that, it's not a supposition, but I think that this woman refused because Marina set up everything so much in a theatrical set up and a museographic point of view. I'm sure that if you want to do some of this acting performance sphere or whatever, he will be very happy. But that's my point of view. But it's too much set up, too much museum, too much.
But
okay.
He also did the piece with the gun. She did
the piece
with
the gun.
And he had
the lovely gun,
she's hair.
Oh yeah, this is the
famous.
But you know, there's another reason maybe also why. You know, like, is it really interesting to become into why we do that? Why? I mean, you know, it's just, it has very little interest, really, at a certain point. It's, there are other things that you can do with your time, if you like, for me, really. I don't really find that interesting.
No, in one side. A bullet doesn't go in an inch.
No, no, I mean, it went not deep,
yeah,
but
then it went into the middle of the arm.
Yeah, it just hit the skin.
Yeah.
And it went, you know, an inch to the left and went into the arm.
I think the interesting thing about Phil is I can't disagree with about it being about the gun. I'm someone who uses guns quite a lot, and I don't think it's about the gun. I think what it's about is the very moment afterwards. It's not about the bullet entry. Because what he does two things. He receives pain and he turns it into an act of witness.
Yeah.
He moves very quickly, he's obviously hurt, he can move very, very quickly, out of frame, probably to someone who's going to tend to him medically, I would imagine. But he points. And I think it's not the bullet entry thing, it's the point that he looks at the audience.
Yeah, it is.
He's not looking at himself, he goes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point.
Yeah, that is the very point where he does do this more formal documentation, where he's got this whole thing with the cameras and this is. That's much more obviously.
No, I mean in the film. In the film.
Yeah, no, because when he shows the wound,
yeah,
that's when he's had this guy ready to take photographs. And so I think also for him, he really made a very specific intention to sort of artistically document the very moment you're talking about. Whereas the film is a little bit more of,
and it does the same gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's all so yeah, it's all just one thing. There's just someone outside of the you know, standing outside of frame with a still camera.
Yeah.
And
so it's about that.
Yeah, so this sort of portfolio of these sort of portraits of him showing the movie. You know, he's sort
but
of
the speed is really interesting. Sorry, the speed is really interesting.
Yeah.
He moves very quickly.
Yeah.
He wants it over and done with. Yes. He wants it. He wants it to be seen and then dealt with.
Yeah.
I don't understand at all that you say that was one maybe the best performers in the 20th century. I think it's very subjective from your point of view.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Because it looks to me that if you don't have focus in one small thing, like an atom, considering orienting, forget about orienting, and you just focus on that. And I think that what this artist, the purpose of this, it is to create a bit of that, just to create a bit. And even when you don't let you see something or just to hear them things, then it grows a bit. And in this growing a bit, there are some artists that do that. So Yamushir, I think, does that, absolutely. And it's kind of successful. Because that the people are more interested in this kind of things, you know, than in the real world, you know.
But the real world is the myth.
Yes, the real world is the myth.
Maybe
which has some, you know, I'm not talking about the subjective content that this had, you know, like art or whatever, but the form, the narrative form and myth is quite a specific thing, I think, you know, and I'm not sure.
But sometimes, you know, the case of Arthur Cramon, the proto-Dadaist poet, he has a box match in Barcelona against the world champion Gilton Vidal. And we have the books is a proto-Dada performance, but he did it for money. He was a gambler, and he was in Barcelona escaping from the army in France, and he needs to write some money, so he said he should do that. And after the match, he said it was difficult.
Brian has his interpretation of shoes, I have my interpretation, everyone has their interpretation. The artist has their interpretation, you ask the artist what is this world about, he'll tell you something. That itself isn't necessarily true, I mean it doesn't. The interesting thing through documentation, and I think that shoes is a good example, you can sort of prove or disprove, like Brian's theory or my theory, you know, sort of evidentially through the documentation, you know, to some degree, there's no absolute proof. But like what Brian said, I think is equally as valid as what I said, and there's some very strong evidence, again, the way that the documentation, the physical setup of it, which supports Brian's view, you know. And I mean, you know, when artists are unreliable, people's opinions are unreliable, I quite like this idea of the evidence which is in documentation, which can actually lead to a more objective interpretation of what